Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Caroline Darney. Caroline is a first-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. And we recently connected via Zoom to talk a little bit more about her story, how she decided to pursue an MBA, what led her to Darden, how everything's going so far, and much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Caroline Darney. Caroline, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited. A lot of pressure, actually. I feel a little nervous, if we're being honest.
No way. No pressure at all. I like to think that you're an old pro at these kind of like, come on, talk about a few things. I mean, this is kind of what you do, right?
A little bit. Yeah, I do, you know, day to day. A few times a week, I guess I'll hop on for a podcast here or there, a radio show. Radio, live radio is definitely the most intense because that's like people just listening to what you're saying as you say it. Whereas, you know, some of the other podcasts, they can get edited. That gives you a little bit of a, you know, security blanket, if you will. But yeah, this is, you know, it's exciting. I'm happy to be here. We'll talk about some UVA stuff.
Yeah. And for those of you who are wondering, what is Caroline talking about on the radio? Kind of a big deal in the world of UVA sports. So you want to talk a little bit more about that before we plunge into your whole story?
Maybe overselling me a little bit, Brett. No, I currently work for SBNation.com, which is the sports world part of Vox Media. And I've been with them for 3 years now, I guess, a little over 3 years, where I, before that, was helping with the UVA-specific SB Nation site, Streaking the Lawn, which is where I do primarily a lot of my podcasting. But I've been covering Virginia basketball for several years now. I guess the first season was the Joe Harris, Malcolm Brogdon ACC tournament title in 2014. So not a bad time to jump in. But I previously went to UVA undergrad, so I've been following the team for a long time and do a little bit of lacrosse, a little bit of football, a little bit of soccer, a little bit of everything. So it's fun. It's a ton of fun, especially when you get to like cover national championships. Those are a pretty good time.
Yeah, I would say so. Of course, UVA, we've said it here on the podcast before, multi-year national champion. Yes. Since there was no tournament last year, it's looking like there's going to be a tournament this year. How do you feel about the men's basketball team so far?
I'm excited. I think they're in a good spot. You know, obviously being ranked they're number 9 currently. So anytime you're ranked in the top 10, that's pretty great. You know, 9-1 in the ACC, leading the ACC. Some of the concern people might have would be there hasn't been like a real huge win this season. And that's partly because of COVID. That's partly because the ACC as a whole isn't as top heavy. I think generally in the middle section, they're actually a lot better than they were last year, and the bottom isn't as low. But there just hasn't been a ton of opportunities, especially in the non-conference. They have games against Villanova postponed or canceled, Michigan State, which now actually in retrospect maybe wouldn't have been that exciting of a game because Michigan State has had a tough go of things this year. But they're coming into this 4-game stretch that I think is going to be huge. You get road games, Georgia Tech, home game against UNC, and then you got Florida State and Duke both on the road. And no matter, even if Duke doesn't look as great on paper, it's still Duke. So I think they're always going to get that kind of like, oh, we're playing at Cameron. I don't know if there's any fans, but it doesn't matter. So it should be good. It's exciting. The ceiling is pretty high, and they still have some things that they can work on. So they haven't peaked yet, which I think is good considering it's February.
Yeah, it's nice to be atop the ACC, but you're right. A little bit thicker in the middle for the ACC. Yeah. There's no real other elite team. It feels like teams have had moments, but you think about the UNCs, the Dukes, some of these perennial powers. It's been a weird year for those teams. Even Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State.
I mean, the first time since 1961 that Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, and you can throw in Michigan State and UCLA, I think, are not ranked at the same time. You know, the path for Kentucky and Duke at this point is pretty much win their respective conference tournaments. And honestly, at this point, we don't know what those are even going to look like. So if there are similar, you know, what those conference tournaments look like as teams get ready to potentially play in the NCAA tournament, like, do you risk getting a breakout if you go to your conference tournament, if you already know you're going to be in the NCAA tournament. If you're kind of at the bottom and you know you're not going to make it, you might see some similar opt-outs like you did at the end of football season where teams are like, I don't really want to play in a bowl game because our players are tired of quarantining nonstop, you know, that kind of pressure that it puts on the athletes. So I'm curious to see how it all plays out, but a lot of those big name teams, like if you're looking for Kansas will probably make it. If you're looking for Kentucky come March 19th, when the first round of March Madness starts, might be looking for a while. So it's going to be interesting.
So it continues to be a season unlike any other. And I appreciate your taking time out for the podcast.
Of course, always.
So we started to set the stage a little bit with your story. So let's go a little bit further back. So you mentioned UVA undergrad. What did you do after graduating?
Yeah, so I was part of the Naval ROTC unit on ground. So I went to flight school for 2 years. I was commissioned in the United States Navy at the day before graduation, and then went down to Pensacola, Florida for some fun flight school action, and then spent 3 years in my operational squadron out on the West Coast in Washington State before finishing up my active duty time in DC at the Pentagon, at which point I got a master's in sports management and then decided to try out some of these sports things. And it's been fun. I've been doing that since, I guess, 2015 is when I separated. So a little bit of a weirder journey. And then, you know, started at Darden in August. Yeah, that sounds right. So
yeah, absolutely. In quarter three.
Yes, famous quarter three.
That's right. For our listeners, we talked about it a little bit here, but it is a busy quarter for students taking, at least right now, finance and accounting and leadership communications all together. It's quite a bit, but sounds like you're surviving. You're doing all right.
Yeah. You know, as someone who's, you know, I was a sociology major, I, as I said, write a lot. Math is not necessarily, I do fine, but, you know, accounting is not intuitive for me. So it's been, you know, honestly, the professors have been so great and they're so patient, which is very helpful when you can ask some of these questions. And then learning teams, you hear this so many times as you're, you know, starting the program or looking into the program or talking to people that are already in it or have done the program, and everyone's like, your learning team's going to help you out. They're going to be, and you're like, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, I got it. Sure, sure. And then you get into your learning team and you're like, thank God for this group of people to help me. And we have an accountant in our learning team, bless his heart. So it's been good. You know, it's tough because this is also technically, I guess, J term. So it's a little bit shorter than the other quarters. So it just feels extra accountant finance heavy. So it's tough, but it's kind of fun to see when you go to figure out the weighted average capital and you're like, I did it right. So it's kind of rewarding in that sense too.
Well, one of the things that we've talked a lot about here on the podcast is there's no one background for this program. There's no one path to this program. As an admissions team, we love having a lot of different people in the classroom. I wonder how you decided to pursue an MBA. What led you to say, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, I think when, you know, I'm looking around at what I want to do at work, the kind of things that I'm interested in, potentially career-wise and goal-wise down the road, the idea, you know, working at SB Nation, I have this really interesting position where I get to oversee all of our college sites, where we have 93 college sites, and I help with basic admin stuff for them. So everything from budgeting and resetting passwords, there's a lot of that, which is, you know, important, but less glamorous, to working with different, you know, facets of the company to help with sponsored posts, to help set the budgets. You're dealing with, you know, 93 different site managers, and you become kind of, you're working with them on social media best practices and how to write the best headlines and search engine optimization and all of these different. I love it that there's still things 3 years in that I'm getting a question in the email and I'm like, you know what? I have not experienced this yet. I'm going to have to ask somebody and get back to you. This is a new one for me. So I like that it kind of keeps me on my toes, but at the same time, there are more things in the industry and specifically at my company that I'm not as familiar with. And those are the things that Darden really made. See, that's what really sounded so great about going to Darden and learning these things and getting that next step to make me learn more and be better at my current job, and also in the future make myself a more attractive candidate when I'm looking to, you know, promote within or look at other things beyond where I am right now.
And sort of kind of getting to this a little bit, but what about Darden specifically resonated? I mean, it sounds like the foundation in business, right? Everybody here takes a core curriculum. I'm sure that appealed. Anything else that jumped out to you?
Well, I am a complete homer and love UVA, so I'm probably that's probably the number one thing. And I joke, but it's also true. Like, living in Charlottesville, knowing my experience at UVA with undergrad, knowing the just the history of Darden and like the rankings and the accolades and the way that, you know, you can hear about the case study method. Like I said, hearing about how the learning teams are set up, everyone I talk to, I have several friends who went through Darden, whether it was the full-time MBA, and several, my old roommate from my squadron is a couple classes ahead of me in EMBA. My old Intello is the class ahead of us currently. So it's fun to see and talk to people that I know and trust that have gone through the program, and the things that they say about it. It really kind of, I don't want to say it was an easy decision, but I probably would be, I don't want to lie to you, Brett, because I trust you. So I would never bring it, but it just made so much sense for me where I am. And I just, all of those things combined seem to work together.
Well, we certainly benefit from UVA alumni being really enthusiastic about the school generally and their experience and wanting to come back. In a typical matriculated class, we'll have 10 or more students who are UVA alums, your class included. One of the things that's also cool is that Darden students and alums are really zealous advocates for the program. So if people know someone who went to Darden, they're probably hearing a lot about Darden.
Yeah. Every single person that you talk to about me would probably be like, yeah, she likes to tell us about, you know, oh, so-and-so went to UVA. Like if it's a player or a politician or so anyone, actor, you know, the woman that plays the armorer in The Mandalorian, she's a UVA grad. So fun fact for all of you out there.
Here, I thought you were going to talk about Joe Harris.
Well, he's usually first on the list. I do every time, like, people will tweet something about Joe Harris. Or right now, Daryl Dike, soccer player, who got his debut for the U.S. Men's National Team under 23 team a couple weekends ago or last weekend. He's my favorite right now. He's the one I keep talking about because I think he's going to be a star. But yeah, no, it's constantly with me, constant.
Well, I wonder what the learning curves were for you as you got adjusted to life as a Darden student. I mean, we talk about this a lot, that everybody has things that they're adjusting to. That's true for everybody coming in, full-time MBA, executive MBA programs. Where did you feel like, okay, all right, I'm having to get up to speed on a few things?
Yeah, a lot of it was just, first off, it was going back to school. It was the idea of, you know, going from, I could sit and watch a couple basketball games or, you know, watch the new episode of 9-1-1 or whatever it is, like stress-free. And going from that to like, you have responsibilities, you know, a couple times a week as you're taking classes. And then on top of that, doing the actual reading and the coursework. And it is true. Like people tell you as you go through, after you get through a couple of the on-ground residencies, that you kind of get a feel of like how prepared is prepared. You know, they say, you don't want to kill yourself trying to understand everything because the likelihood of that is not high. and that's not necessarily what they want you to do either. Like there's some things that you come to class and you're prepared to talk about and ask questions and contribute. And then you learn the rest from discussion and what the professor tells you. And so getting that feeling down about what you can do personally, especially balancing all of it with personal life, the pandemic, honestly, like trying to keep yourself sane from being inside. You know, we've been completely virtual, which has its drawbacks, but also has some benefits to it, if we're being honest, you know, mostly sweatpants. But it's nice to have some of that, getting used to everything, I think it's been the biggest. And I think now, you know, it's like balance. The work part is like, you know, we go through ebbs and flows with when it's busy with work, with Super Bowl and now heading into March Madness and balancing those things. I think that's been tough. And then just the hardest part for me, honestly, has been making sure that I'm comfortable with some of the quant classes and econ and accounting and finance. So I think that's been tough. And I knew that going in, I knew it was going to be a challenge, but it's kind of nice to challenge yourself a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's the idea, right? I mean, I always talk with prospective students about the decision to come get a, you know, participate in an executive MBA program, to get an MBA at this particular juncture in your career. I don't think this is ever just sort of like, oh, I just decided to do this. I mean, this is a very intentional choice for everyone. And so, yeah, it is about growing and stretching. Do you feel like some of those things you just mentioned, do you feel like it's gotten easier? Or at least do you feel like you're using those muscles again? You're starting to get a sense of this, like you're gaining some momentum now that you're about 6 months in?
Yeah, I also love, this is the nerdiest thing about me, potentially. I love organizing things. So I love having my paper calendar. I love having the different colored pens. I thrive in that type of thing. And so helping myself get planned out that way, I think is definitely hit more of a stride. And honestly, as we have grown as a learning team and bonded and gotten to know each other, even though I'm trying to do the math. No, I have not met any of them in person. I was like, there's a handful of people here and there that either I know from undergrad that are in the class or that I know from something else. But no, I haven't met any of my learning team in person, but I do feel like we know each other really well. And if one of us is having a tough week or having something going on with their personal life, like it's now we're at the point we can, you know, lift each other up, help each other out, cover something, cover a case for each other when we're doing prep work for OGR. So I think that part's gotten easier. And I think it's just knowing what type of interactions the professors are looking for. Obviously each class is different, each professor is different, but you know, it took our class a while, I think, to settle in and get used to participation, like, you know, the chat section in Zoom, the raising hand function. So even those things that sound so simple, it's just like kind of getting that rapport down with classmates and that type of thing has made things feel a little bit easier.
Yeah, I know that your class has had some hybrid classes, meaning there have been some in-person opportunities if students wanted to do that. Of course, no student has been required to come and participate in person. And I was just actually, I know quarter three for your class, all the classes are offered virtually, although students have been able to come into Sands Family Grounds if they wanted to participate in the classes from there. I was just there on Friday.
I was so jealous. I heard you were going to be at First Coffee, just wandering around, talking to people.
I didn't make it there till the afternoon, but you had about 20, 25 people there. All seemed like they were having a good time, catching up, those kinds of things. And, you know, I think it's, students have different comfort levels. We knew this all along with being in person right now. And so it's really creating opportunities. And of course, you have to still think about making sure that everybody feels included in the program. So for those students who are, you know, choosing to remain virtual at this time, making sure that they feel like they're connected to your classmates. So it sounds like even though maybe you haven't participated in some of those in-person opportunities, you still feel that connection.
Absolutely. And I you know, our class did a really great job pre-matriculation of, you know, creating WhatsApp groups and conversations, and we had virtual happy hours. And now that I've taken over social for our class, which is a huge responsibility, I'm very excited about. I get to be the social planner, trying to come up with ideas that are comfortable for everybody and that will cater to people that are, you know, like, I want to do some things here in Charlottesville because I live here in Charlottesville. So come on down to XYZ Vineyards, folks. We're going to make it work. But also finding places, you know, for people that do go to OGR that they can get a safe meal together or that they can watch a game together in a way that's, you know, because my mom jokes around. She calls me the COVID police. I've been very responsive. I mean, it's good. I just have always been that way in my life where I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac, if we're being honest. But it's that balance of what's safe, what's comfortable, who's comfortable doing what, and making sure that we don't leave anybody out in that whole process too. And so if it's a, you know, safe and the way I play golf, it would be distanced outing. Those type of things are fun, and they can definitely guarantee that I'm going to send them a like big calendar that has all of the various UVA sporting events on it, just in case they want to watch so that I can talk about it with someone, those type of things. So it should be, we've done really well, I think, all things considered.
Yeah, we always brag on your class. We have not had a class show up as connected as the Executive MBA class of 2022. To me, that was one of the fascinating things about this whole situation is, y'all were very enterprising, very resilient. You know, we did a bunch of virtual events between say March and the start of school in August. And man, if it didn't feel like y'all all knew each other, at least to us.
Yeah, it's going to be weird when we actually do get to like see each other for something, especially like as we're as much as this isn't ideal with how things are going, obviously, like, no one would choose this. I like that we're hopefully, fingers crossed, I mean, please, front-loaded with not being able to see each other. And then on the back end, when we've now, like, established some relationships and stuff, like, when we finally meet, it's going to be, like, long-lost pals, like, finally, you know, seeing each other. And we keep joking with our learning team, like, we just want to know how tall everybody is. Like, that's, like, the thing where you're, like, we're going to see someone and be, like, oh, my God, I didn't know you were, like, 6'6". This is crazy. You know, like, just who's going to be that person that's completely different, like, in real life. So it's going to be fun. We just want to see how tall everybody is. That's what it comes down to.
So Caroline, as you sort of think about your goals for the program and what you're looking forward to, I mean, obviously seeing your classmates in person, sure, having an opportunity, but you think professionally or educationally, what's on your mind?
A lot of the, especially as we're taking some of the leading organizations in leadership communications, I feel like I've, like, heavily talked about the quant classes, which is fair because that's, you know, as we said. But some of the stuff just about how to properly communicate, I like to learn a lot about, you know, communicating down, but also communicating up. Like right now where I am, I have bosses that I report to, and then I have direct reports. Like, am I doing the most for them? Am I communicating in a way that's clear and concise and the proper channels? Like, so some of that stuff right now is applicable and it's great. Also, I've learned a lot about Excel that has been very helpful already. So that's nice. But going forward, you know, looking at just this general understanding of just a better understanding of business, you know, like my mom's a financial planner and she loves to now talk to me about finance class. Sometimes when I'm like, you've already lost me, mom. Like, okay, hold on, back up. But just already feeling more comfortable with, like, hearing stories on the news with stuff going on, like, and it reflecting back to an econ class, or, you know, taking some of these lessons, and, like, we're going to take ops next quarter, and I'm, like, really stoked about that. I don't know if that's normal, but, like, it just really is something that I'm looking forward to, and there are these, you know, the electives and just different ways that we can continue developing skills that are applicable. A lot of it, you know, when you talk about, like, am I going to do accounting? No, you don't want me to. We would be audited in a second. Like, it's just, I know my strengths and my weaknesses. But it is a good balance of, like, knowing the basics so that if something comes up and you can see something and something doesn't look right, or something you have, you know who to go to, you know who to ask that, you know, for clarification. So I think it just, like, I'm working to be a more well-rounded employee. And that covers leadership, knowledge base, like all of the things that I think Darden can provide.
It's a good point. I think talking with our alums, when I first came to Darden, I was struck by the fact that they were talking about things like self-awareness, that they were talking about, well, I guess one way to think about it is you have a very clear understanding of your strengths because you have been surrounded by a really talented group of people. And so over that 21 months, you've really figured out what you bring to an organization, yeah, what you bring to those conversations. But you also know how people can be helpful to you, where some of your gaps are. And so you know how to reach out and really kind of recognize those limits. I found that to be fascinating because, you know, coming from a law background, the business school, I figured people would be talking about all this technical stuff. And yet they were talking about all this sort of essentially, you know, interpersonal sort of emotional quotient or self-awareness, these kinds of things that may feel a little bit softer, but have tremendous value for people.
Yeah. And everyone, it's been interesting, like when we've had discussions in class too, and people will talk about what they want to get out of things or why things are important. We rarely have people say, like, because you make more money or because you, it all feels, and maybe that's cheesy and just my one experience anecdotally, this is all I haven't been to multiple other business classes. Like, this is my one experience so far. But it's kind of refreshing that the way that your classmates are approaching things is that kind of holistic, how is this going to make me a better leader, employee, coworker, that type of thing. So it's been really fascinating.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're feeling like you can take what you're learning in class and it's applicable to your work. You can see that connection. I think it's one of the great benefits of doing a working professional program like our executive MBA program. I imagine that also sort of helps stay engaged when you're as busy as you are, knowing that, you know, I can see how this relates.
Yeah, there's so many things that even if it doesn't directly speak to you exactly what you're doing, it's stuff that you know how you can apply it. Like I said, even stuff as simple as like some of the Excel manipulation has helped me with doing some like spreadsheets at work where I'm looking at, you know, posts per month from writers and, you know, color coding cells. And that's stuff that, like, maybe I didn't know that 4 months ago, but I know it now and I can use it. It's made my life easier. And, you know, just kind of some of the other, you know, working with sponsorships when I'm talking to the sales team, how that changes my perspective and how that helps me understand better what they're doing and what they need from me potentially. And then how I'm communicating that to the people that are going to be helping coordinate some of these sponsorships and executing the sponsorships. And so it's been really, that stuff has been so interesting. And it's really cool. I think we kind of mentioned a little bit, but like when we talk in class and like have a case that talks about, you know, a disease or an infectious disease and like leadership communication, that sort of stuff, we have doctors that like tell you exactly and give you this great perspective. And you're just like, wow, that's really interesting. Or we talked about dealing with the press and, you know, classmates that work in journalism and they have like these experiences and it's not just like a bunch of people that have the same background that are all trying to, you know, it's just not the same idea every single time. And so it's really fascinating to hear. There are definitely times where you have imposter syndrome where you'll kind of look in class and be like, oh my God, look at that person. They do that. And it's really cool. And so, but like you said, it's like you bring things to the table that fill other areas where people might need some of the assistance going forward. So it's been such a really cool experience over the first, you know, three quarters.
We spent a lot of time on our respective podcasts talking about imposter syndrome, which I do think is part of the MBA student journey.
you have to go through it.
Unfortunately, everybody goes through it, but the reality is you get past it. And we always think it's so important to remind students, you earn the seat. You are here for a reason. The admissions committee chose you because of who you are and what you're going to bring to the class. Yeah. But there are moments that can be harder, for sure.
Yeah, there are times where you kind of like, with everything going on and looking at, I will say finishing the first quarter, man, I felt so accomplished. Like, and part of that is you're finishing up, you've got stuff for LR1 to complete. You had some of the business fundamental courses and the exam, like your first time taking exams through Darden. And what was that going to be like? What was that experience like? The terror of like finding out that you had grades available and that you could log on and look at them, like, you know, those type of things. And so it's that, getting used to that type of thing, but there's a sense of accomplishment that you're doing something that's really hard and difficult. It will build up who you are and improve your life. Yes. And you're dedicated to it, but it's something that's difficult that you're completing while balancing, you know, taking care of family or sanity when you're staying at home and can't do anything else and work and, you know, keeping the dog happy. I think dogs have probably had the best year, right? Is that we decided that this is 2020 is the year of dogs. Well, I guess, you know, do cats like it when you're home? I don't have a cat. I'm assuming they don't, but it depends on the cat. But you know, it's just kind of every once in a while I have to remind myself that, like, even when I feel like I'm doing a lot of things and not doing any of them well, that's not necessarily the case. And that, you know, hang in there type. I need one of those like cat posters. It's like, hang in there, like some of those sometimes. But overall, it's, you know, that reminding yourself that you're doing something really hard and difficult and you're getting it done.
Yeah, it's a good point about cats versus dogs. I think the dog is probably happy to have you there. Maybe the cat is wondering, why are you here?
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you going to go? Are you? My dog now, she's had a tougher time like going in the crate when I do actually have to go run an errand. And by tougher time, I mean, she just barks at me a little bit. But it's because I'm here constantly. And sometimes when I go places, I just take her because why not? I just, you know, it's cold enough out that she's happy to sit in the car and wait for me while I go into, you know, Harris Teeter for three things. But it's been, she's had the time of her life. She's just like, we're going somewhere? Okay, great. What are we doing now? Oh, you're still here? Awesome. Let's hang out. So
I wonder, what would be your advice for prospective students who are considering executive MBA, looking at Darden potentially? What would you share with them?
Oh, I'm trying not to just be like, do it. But really look for what you want to get out of it. Make sure that you are examining, you know, like I said, it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort, but something that is so rewarding, even just three quarters in, I can't say enough about UVA and Darden and the community, like you said, it's been so easy to get to know everybody. And it's legitimately, like, again, this sounds so cheesy and like canned, but like, it's a community. Like, it actually is. Like, we all work together and everyone helps each other out. And just being a part of that has been so helpful to me over the past few months. Like, again, not to just harp on the pandemic, but, you know, I've made a couple friends in the last few months that I feel like I've known my whole life, or that I know will continue being friends going forward. And so if you're considering Darden, I'd say talk to as many people as you can that are part of the program, that finish the program, go to a couple mock classes, you know, see for yourself what we're talking about with the case method. And then just apply, go for it. Like, if you think you're ready and you want to do it, like, I cannot recommend enough applying, talking to people, like going for it, because it's been so rewarding.
Caroline, I appreciate all those points. And I also appreciated your point earlier about celebrating your accomplishments as you go. It's super important when you're as busy as you are in a program like this is to find those moments to recognize yourself. You know, I feel like, well, Treat Yourself had its moments, like a few, you know, like, or still has its moments.
Still, yeah, it's completely happening for me now, yeah.
Yeah, so, but, you know, recognizing sort of achievements along the way. You completed your first week, your first month, your first quarter, your first exams. It's really, really important. It's a number of psychological benefits. So if you focused on the very end of a 21-month program, that'd be really hard. But if you can identify and recognize the ways that you're gaining momentum over the course of this time, and, you know, you're one quarter in, two quarters in, you're approaching the 50% mark, or however you want to think about that, that is critical for people who are doing something as difficult as an executive MBA program.
Yeah, it's, you know, I generally go with Fridays at Harris Teeter here in Charlottesville. They have half cakes for $5.99, half cake Friday. That's my go-to way of celebrating, generally red velvet, if we're getting specific. But yeah, I mean, it is like, you know, it's weird because at times I'm like, well, we're just getting started. And then I think about the fact that next May, fingers crossed, knock on wood, we'll be walking the lawn and be done. And it's kind of like, it's going to be one of those things that feels really difficult while you're doing it. There are gonna be some really amazing moments. And then all of a sudden it's going to be over and you're gonna be like, what, how did, was that 2 years? Was that 21 months? So I think it's important, like you said, to kind of like make the most of it, put as much into it as you can, but make sure that you're still making time, like give yourself time, give yourself space, do what you need to do to get the most out of the program. And it's just been so far so good. So great. I loved it. So.
Well, Caroline, always a pleasure. I could stay here, talk for much, much longer. We'll have to come back. You have to have you come back on the podcast and do an NCAA tournament.
Yes.
I feel like people, one of the great benefits of being a UVA student, assuming you don't already have partisan ties to another major Division I school, is that you get, you know, great athletics.
It's amazing.
And so, you know, we always note for our incoming students, we always try to make sure they're aware of when football games are going on, basketball games, of course, the grounds at Darden. If you happen to find yourself in Charlottesville, just a stone's throw away from so many of the athletic fields, as well as John Paul Jones Arena. So you're right there in the mix as a Darden student.
I got the email that was like, you know, register for Shots, which is like the online ticketing system for basketball. And I was like, oh, that's right. I get like ticket benefits. And it's just fun. If you had told undergrad me like some of the quality of basketball for an extended period of time that I'd be watching right now, like I never would have believed you. So it's definitely a fun time to jump in and support the team. And like you said, the longest reign for one title, because people are like, well, UCLA won back to back. I'm like, but those were one per year. This is a 2-year title. People were joking that Virginia was bad for basketball several years ago, right? So they won their first title and now the whole thing shut down. So that's it. No more champions, just the one. So
well, Caroline, good luck as you finish up quarter three.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time out for the podcast. It's great catching up, and stay safe.
Thanks, you too.
And that was my interview with Caroline Darney, a first year student in our executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We could be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.